NWP Radio.
You're listening to NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project.
NWP.
Hello, everyone. Once again, I'm thrilled to be back with my co-host, the one and only, the incredible Tanya Baker, Executive Director of the National Writing Project. We are so happy to welcome listeners to another episode of The Write Time. If you are like me, you're currently peeping around the corner to see what is beginning to bloom and blossom as we head towards National Poetry Month and think ahead to the rebirth in our lives. Ah, but for many of us in the studio tonight, well, at least three of us, the East Coast is getting another blast of winter's stubborn cold. It's freezing. Tonight's show, though, is in anticipation of the wonderful warmth ahead. The truth is, tonight, we're going a little more musical in our work, and we are proud to feature the first songwriters to our show. Tanya, what are you going to sing to us tonight? Please tell me we're not going to sing a duet. I got you, babe.
No, Brian, I am not singing. We're good as a hosting duet, and I'm sure our listeners would quickly realize that we are not Tracy Chapman and Luke Combs, although I do hope we are able to channel some of the harmony they brought to this year's Grammys. Yes, today we're moving in a slightly different direction. I know you became a fan of Rob Rokicki after meeting him at a book festival in Connecticut where the graphic novel Monster Songs was presented. I'm glad you reached out to him after learning he was also the mastermind behind the Broadway show The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical. I quickly knew which teacher we could partner with, teacher leader Kevin Hodgson. We are thrilled to welcome the first of its kind conversation on The Write Time, The Art of Composing Lyrics.
Yeah, as soon as I learned that my university, Fairfield University's theater department, was staging a production of The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical on campus, I thought, I wonder, wouldn't it be great if the National Writing Project could get Rob Rokicki into our studio to ask about lyricism? And you know what? He agreed. That is why it is an honor to introduce Rob Rokicki, a New York City-based artist and educator who wrote the music, lyrics, and co-orchestrated the Broadway show, The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical, the book by Joe Trace. Their show was nominated for a Lortel Off-Broadway Alliance and three Drama Desk Awards. His graphic novel musical, Monster Songs, which is on my shelf right now, National Alliance for Musical Theater official selection, played internationally and is being developed as a VR game. Wow. Experience Marianas with Sarah Beth Pfeiffer was a semifinalist for the O'Neill Festival, developed at CAP 21 Molloy and in the UK. Rokicki has also co-arranged and orchestrated Punk Rock Girl, book by Joe Iconis, and was writer on Breathe, book by Timothy McDonald, and New York Times bestselling novelist Jodi Picoult. If I didn't say Jodi Picoult's last name right, my girl undergraduates would hate me. Rob's been commissioned to write for the Kennedy Center, the BACT, and the film The Real Gemma Jordan, script by Anna K. Jacobs. He's a two-time Larson Award finalist, an alum of the BMI Workshop, and graduate of the University of Michigan. As an actor, he's performed in Broadway national tours and Carnegie Hall, as well as music directed at the Public Theater. He believes in full accessibility for creators and audiences. He can be viewed at RobroKicki.com or follow him at RROKicks. All right, I'm gonna hand it over to you, Tanya.
That was a mouthful.
That was a lot. Man, we got it. We got the man in the house.
I have the pleasure of introducing Kevin Hodgson, who submitted his bio. He teaches sixth grade in Southampton, Massachusetts, and is a teacher consultant with the Western Massachusetts Writing Project. He is also a singer, a songwriter, an amazing teacher leader, and a person who lives a fully involved inquiry life into all things music, teaching, and writing. So
he lives the artist life.
He does indeed. And we're so glad to have him as our interviewer tonight. So Kevin,
thank you.
I'm glad to turn it over to you first by asking you to, how did we get out of this order? Okay. What? I'm sorry. Here is the correct screen. Would you like to share a writing prompt with our audience? We know that we're not going to stop and write tonight, but people could pause their recording and write if they're listening to this later.
Sure, I'd be honored. Thanks for having me here to talk with Rob. I'm really looking forward to this. So here's the prompt that might get you started in your kind of listening experience. Remember a favorite book or story from when you were a kid? Key in on one central scene or interaction that you remember from those characters. And then think about writing that scene as if it were a play skit with some dialogue and some stage direction. So flip the genre a little bit. And then, since we have a music theme tonight, think about what would the mood of the music be that would be playing as a scene unfolded up on the stage. That
Yeah, I
kind
knew I was in danger when I booked this show because the prompts get me super excited and I just want to write. We welcome you to have a wonderful conversation. We're going to sign off now. And once again, welcome, welcome, welcome to the right time.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Rob, it's so nice to meet you. I was really excited when I was invited to have a conversation with you and dug in a little bit about your work with musicals and with music and lyrics and a special connection with The Lightning Thief as I teach it to my sixth graders at the beginning of the year. They really love that story. And I told them today I was going to be meeting with you and talking with you, and they were excited to to know what we were going to talk about and things like that. And then I got an email actually from a parent. What Robin Brian was saying is that a mother said, "Oh, our college is putting on The Lightning Thief tomorrow through Sunday, right down the road." So it's on the road still, which is great. So thanks for hanging out here with me and kind of talking about music and things
Oh,
like that.
please. My honor, my pleasure. I'm so excited for this, and thank you so much for having me.
So a lot of my questions will be centered on The Lightning Thief, but we should feel free to kind of wander off into kind of other projects that you've done for sure. One of the things that came to my mind, actually my students were asking too, is how does a songwriter, a theater group kind of take a novel and kind of turn it into a musical or a play? Like what goes into that thinking and what decisions do you have to make to kind of make that work?
Well, I mean, every adaptation is a different animal, and I have written a lot, primarily original stories. Sometimes I'll think of sometimes based on historical events, sometimes a person, oftentimes just completely made up. But this was a case where a theater company named TheaterWorks USA that has been around for like 3 decades almost. This was a commission that they had created decided to create a musical version of Rick Riordan's a book, which was quite a coup because usually they were known for doing more books geared toward younger audiences. So they had something that was a middle grade book was exciting for them, and they fought hard to kind of Barbara Pasternak, the artistic director, really fought hard to get the rights, and which was a big deal for the company, and so they went about adapting it, and their first thought was to make it a play, and then they brought in the writer Joe Trace, who had heard about it, who was a playwright and worked in television, and mostly movies, but and animation. And was eager to start on his like he was obsessed with that book, and so he had turned met with them. He got the job and had written a play adaptation, and they realized quickly that like, oh, this thing should sing. There's so much story. It's really hard because these theater work shows were usually an hour with like six actors in a van kind of thing, and so they were like, this thing should sing. This thing should be fun. This is angsty music. We should have a somebody writes rock music. So they reached out to some folks, and I was looking for projects, and a friend of mine who is also a writer who writes rock musicals, named Joe Iconis, said, "You should throw your hat in the ring." So a bunch of different writers submitted demos, which is one of the ways that shows get written, and then
For whatever reason, my songs that I made, I think they only asked for like one, and I think I submitted three or four song demos as I got excited. I read the book and I love Joe's script. And they thought that I fit the tone like right. And that was a big thing that they really wanted to make sure that we got right, especially Rick, who had been kind of hurt by the movies, like kind of wasn't a fan of those adaptations, was really protective of making sure, and his team, that we got the tone right. So I got the gig, and then we were off to the races adapting a 1 hour version of the show. I could tell you, like, we had no idea that that would take almost 10 years of our lives, and then it would be expanded into a 2 act version, and then it would go on tour and then go to Broadway. That was never kind of in our mind at the time. We were just trying to adapt a beloved YA novel into a very condensed, fun, action-packed traveling theater show. And I think, like, there was so much about that tone that felt right musically. And I love the prompt that we were given too. That everybody got there for Brian. I think that just from the get-go, the very first lyric, or the very first line of dialogue in the book ended up being the very first thing that Percy sings. It just felt very right. I could see where songs would come, emotional beats and things like that. And Joe had done such a beautiful job adapting the thing as a play that there was a real cohesion to everything. So it was really fun. But yeah, every it's building musicals is problem solving. It's constantly figuring out the two things that a song should do, either reveal character or propel plot or do both. And especially in a first book of several book series that has so much world building, it was a lot to try to cram in to hit the beats that were the most, we thought, the most important to the character and the development of those characters. That's kind of how we decided what elements of the book we decided to keep. And I can tell you why we then expanded it if you want me. I can talk about this forever. But what basically happened was our show, our little off-Broadway show, we did on tour, and that did fairly well. And then because Rick's team was so glad at the or glad happy with the work that we had made, they were able to wrestle the rights from 20th Century Fox at the time to let us do a sit-down New York run, which is part of Free Summer Theater, which was really exciting because a lot of this was a gateway musical, which is kind of what Joe and I's intention kind of was. We're like, this is for kids who don't normally like musical theater, because The Lightning Thief is usually a book that a lot of kids that don't like reading fall in love with this book. So we were kind of like, let's make this really cool and fun and scrappy rock and roll show. We had this amazing director, Stephen Brackett, who just worked on the Pulitzer Prize winning A Strange Loop. Like, just a brilliant, like, avant-garde, like, off-Broadway kind of experimental theater guy, and to make this thing. And it was for a lot of young people, it was their first introduction to theater, and we got to do the show for free for a lot of underserved communities, and that was really special. And then that 1 hour version got nominated against like Hamilton for a Lortel Award, which was kind of unheard of, and perked up TheaterWorks' ears and a lot of other producers, and said, what if we did something we've never done before in the history of our company, and that is rip the show open and do a 2 act version of the show. And that's what happened. And then it spiraled from there. That did well. And then we kept going. But that 2 act version was really kind of where we actually got to adapt the show the way we kind of saw fit in the beginning, since we had to cram so much in. Now we are finally able to like let moments breathe and pack some more adventure in, and that's where most of the songs that people associate with the show were written. But yeah, that's the long answer. I'm sorry, but yeah, it's a tricky thing because we had to adapt it once and then adapt it all over again the second time in a whole
Well,
new
trying to
way.
imagine how you got an hour, like, the wrestling you must have had done to figure out what do we
With
keep
six
in and keep out.
actors, well, and we had to do a lot of R&D, where we had young people come, fans of the books come, Rick's team telling us what we could and couldn't keep, and at the end we decided, well, we have six actors, and I think they're playing 42 characters, and that's how we decided how to tell the story. Was, okay, these are kids from kind of broken homes, and they're going to tell their own story their own way, and with we made it at these kind of a skate park that looked like an old Greek amphitheater, was like spray painted. We're like, we'll take all this detritus and stuff and have them kind of take agency to tell their own story in this weird, fun, irreverent way. And that's kind of how we found our way into writing the show too, just because the limitations were quite helpful on, at the end of the day. They were actually quite freeing when you had to kind of think as theatrically and creatively as you possibly could.
Yeah, that's great. When you were talking about, you know, how the music helps advance the characters, how do you approach that as a composer or writer when you're thinking about a character? Like, what's going through your head a little bit as you're, I don't know if you composing the piano or guitar or however you go about doing it?
Both. I think it all comes down to character for me. And, you know, Percy is impulsive. You know, he's got ADHD and dyslexia. He's an angsty teen that feels like everybody's kind of out to get him. So a lot of his stuff was written on electric guitar. That kind of felt right. I'm not a great guitar player. I'm okay. But what I love playing about the guitar is that sometimes I'll stumble onto chords or shapes and things that surprise me. Because my first instrument was piano, I know where my hands kind of normally go. But that being said, like for a character like Annabeth, who's very analytical, she's daughter of Athena, she's always like super smart. I came up with like a Rhodes keyboard sound that felt really right. I don't know if I can turn my keyboard on, but it felt like a computer. It felt like a analytical brain, you know, playing notes, and that was kind of my way in to her vibe. And then, you know, Grover, he's a sweet kind of hippie satyr, so I played a lot on acoustic guitar. So it always depended on the character, kind of the vibe. That would even kind of dictate, like, you know, moments in the show where the character is explosive, like intervallic relationships of when things get really big, or how the characters, you know, where like the music would kind of come down, or where it would be expansive. And yeah, it was all that kind of stuff that I played with. You know, what is the sound of a Greek god? What does that even mean? Yeah. I think the first drafts, I listened to a lot of like classical music that had a big sound to it, like Gustav Holst's The Planets, like Mars, The Bringer of War, like things that were inspiring that way. I'm like, what would that sound like with an electric guitar? Like, what? Those kinds of things were kind of ways in. And I listened to a lot of other angsty pop punk music, you know, just because I was in a very, it was interesting because it was the perfect show to fall into my lap at the right time because of where I was at in my life. I just booked a Broadway show that the producers had pulled out of at the last second as an actor. And that, you know, I'd learned accordion for 6 months, and it was kind of heartbreaking that literally the day before we started rehearsals, they pulled the plug on the show. Ooh. And that's when I was like, I have to start making things that I can have some sense of control over. And that's literally when The Lightning Thief kind of fell in my lap. And ironically, that is the very same show that ended up getting me back to Broadway. So I felt like I channeled a lot of that angst that I was feeling of like, oh, this is the perfect time to be thinking about angsty teens. This is that sound, I think.
Yeah,
that little like computery
sound. That's Annabeth.
That was, Annabeth's kind of brain chipping away. I also came up with like musical themes, like little motifs and stuff.
I was going to just ask you about that. Like, and so that as a musical gets sprinkled throughout to kind of remind the audience of character or mood and feeling and emotion, like how are the motifs usually used when you're writing a musical?
Well, I think they're really helpful to kind of anchor the audience into understanding like who people are and give them a very quick kind of reference point. So Poseidon had like a very regal, this pretty theme that felt like an ocean wave cresting. And I used that motif over and over again whenever Percy was kind of questioning his parentage, which was kind of a mystery. Spoiler alert, he's the son of Poseidon. So there is this kind of water motif that I was trying to play with. Sometimes that would affect accompaniment patterns. But other times you would come up with like it's interesting because I was both musical theater and literature major at college, and I structure songs like essays. So I would always come up with like, what's the hook of a song? How's that feel? And then like, how does that relate to the character? So sometimes a hook like Percy's hook in his kind of big number in Act One called Good Kid comes back around as a reprise in Act Two that our villain kind of sings, our foil, if you will, in Act Two with a totally different take, just by reusing the same melody and lyric, but or twisting the lyric slightly, and then you get a different feel. It's helpful because the audience with reprises or moments like that, they can then suddenly reference it, and it's familiar to them because you only have so much real estate to give information, especially new information to an audience. You know, by end of Act Two, or middle of Act Two, you can't be introducing a ton of new songs. It's really a lot to be giving an audience to be, you know, handling. So it's fun to have those moments to reference, and they build on it themselves. Mm-hmm. So for example, Clarice in Act One, the character is the daughter of Ares. So there's this big kind of hair metal Pat Benatar moment where, you know, the daughter of the god of war is beating up the kids at camp. And then we use that melody again in Act Two, that the dad, when he finally shows up, Ares shows up, we use that. So again, because the show is about parents and kids and cycles and those things, it was great to have those points of reference to show those connections. And I think that's fun for the audience as well.
You know, one of the questions I have for my students today was, do they have the battle with Ares in the musical? Like they were wondering about that. Yeah,
they sure do. That was kind of essential. And one of the things that was missing from that first movie that the fans were so adamant that we keep. And we're like, well, and that was the honestly the hardest song to crack of the show. I could tell you a brief story about that if you're interested, but like that was basically, it was one of those moments where we knew we had to get out of the underworld, and Percy's gone to, people who don't know this book, I'm so sorry, you're gonna have to learn what's happening here, but this is a kid, he realizes his dad is a Greek god, gods are real, he ends up in the underworld trying to save his mom, and then he has to get out, and the hook of the thing, Son of Poseidon, it's this moment where he uses a gift that his dad gave him, and then it's this in the books it's these pearls, and we use a conch shell, which again, when you adapt something for stage, you think about how do I keep the spirit of the thing but change it to make it work on a stage. So a conch shell, you get a visual and an audio cue to get them out of the underworld, and then he has the big Ares fight, which is him actually for once embracing his powers. And at the end of it, and forgiving his dad, which is like kind of coming into his own, which is a pretty big theme for a YA book. And then at the end of it, he's kind of rewarded by getting to see his dad. So that whole thread fills this like giant sequence with interspersed moments and other themes of other songs throughout it. But that's the kind of through line that gets us to the end of it. And so having those other themes and motifs to play with interspersed was helpful, but I needed a unifying thing to get us from one place to another, and to have that fight, because that's kind of the culmination of him coming into his own, but it's not the total climax of the show. That's the kind of physical fight climax, but it's not the cerebral climax that we get when he's battling Luke at the very end of the show. That's when he sees his peer here who has learned not to forgive his dad and has begun consumed by anger and has been manipulated by it. And we see how easily that can happen if Percy had not gone another way. So it's a really interesting dichotomy to see that then at the end of the show. And so it was weird to have that structure though of like almost two climaxes. So it's interesting, but they are connected.
Yeah. Thinking of like lyrics now, because you wrote lyrics for the show and other shows too. So, but do you have a process that you go through when, you know, you either have a story of your own or you've been asked to help with a story? Like, what's your starting point? So thinking of our young writers and who want to,
of course,
songwriters or.
Well, I mean, Kevin, do you write lyrics in your band too? Do you write lyrics?
Yes.
And do you, I mean, like, I'm curious, do you need kind of a story behind it or like a point of view for character, or do you write kind of pop songs, or how does that work?
Yeah, more pop songs. You know, it's funny, when I'm writing by myself, I don't need that. And I do it all on acoustic guitar when I'm writing. But when I'm collaborating with somebody, I need to know like what's the story that they're trying to, you know, that they want to see in the song that we're writing together.
Yeah.
If I don't have that hook, it's hard for me to figure out where to go.
Well, and you nailed it on the head right there with that idea of the hook. And again, like, that is how I formed my, like, my thesis and my essays in college. So everything has to come up with the hook. A song can only be about, like, one thing, really. So what is the crux? What is the thing that you're trying to say? It's usually the title of the song. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, you can play around with the mood of what the character is going through musically. Oh, I just knocked my headphones out. You play around with the mood, but how do you get into the head of a character? And luckily with Lightning Thief, it was an adaptation. So I had lots of POV chapters, point of view chapters from other characters or from Percy, where I got their, how they spoke, their cadence, mm-hmm. The rhythm of their dialogue. I also had a great script to use. And so a lot of that dictated how the songs kind of came about, because I would stumble upon a phrase or a word either in the book or in the script that I was like, oh, that sings, that feels right to the way that that character would speak, to make it different from me. You know, I've written plenty of kind of pop songs from my own perspective, and I find, like, you know, especially with young people that are first starting out, and this was definitely me when I was first writing songs, all my songs kind of felt like they were from the same perspective. Mm-hmm. When you're stepping into another character's idiosyncrasies, their colloquialisms, their slang, the way they, you know, the way they talk, that gives you so much richness of musical and lyrical ideas. That's really helpful. So, you know, these are young people. They wouldn't probably talk the way I would talk. So how do I get back into how I felt when I was their age? And again, going back to the script, other times, like in a song, like Another Terrible Day, I literally took lines of dialogue. I think that was a scene that I kind of cannibalized. I like ate up the scene and then like literally used most of that dialogue as the song. It had a rhythm to it. Mr. D is this grumpy camp counselor. And he's like, oh, you're alive. I suppose that great news for you. I was like, oh, that has a rhythm to it. That feels great. And we love the comedian, Lewis Black. And that was kind of how we looked at Mr. D. I was like, oh, he has that feel. And that, oh, I get how the words might be explosive and then down and kind of be underhandedly funny and like, or a little mean, a little, you know, and so all of those things help to kind of find your way into the lyrics. It's also like, what do they want from the person they're talking to? Like, and how would they talk? How is the power dynamic to the person they're talking to? Percy is much more vulnerable and open with his mom than he is with maybe Annabeth or someone else. So that also depends on kind of what the lyric might be. Are you more introspective? Are you more vulnerable if you're alone on stage? Or are you, you know, with someone? And how do we present, you know, when we're with someone else?
Yeah, that's a good insight, I think, into thinking what goes into pulling that all together. How did you start getting into musicals? And
oh, I always loved musicals. My parents are big musical fans. They're more classical music though, so it was like opera and stuff. But I stumbled upon, I think it was like chess when I was a kid, and I learned how to play piano mostly from musical theater songbooks. So I kind of fell in love with musicals that way. Both mm-hmm. my grandparents, had been singers, my grandmother's. And my mother was a singer, my dad was a pianist. So I think music was around, but I loved, I think in first grade, I did a play or a musical, and I thought, oh, I want this. This is fun. But my big aha moment was in high school when a friend of mine did a play that he wrote. It was a take on, I think, William Inge play, Bus Stop. But he did a comical version of it called Bus Stop Polka. But basically he wrote a comedy, an absurd comedy with his friends. And I said, oh, you can do that? You can tell your own stories and you can hire your friends to be in it? I want to do that. And so I did, and I wrote not a very good play in high school. But for whatever reason, I was able to get I won a small award at the Denver Center of Performing Arts, where these professional actors got to read my really weird play, That was the one of the most thrilling moments of my life to see professionals and to see, oh, you can do this for real. You can take this seriously. And though I had kind of looked more into the performing element of it, I was always writing music throughout this entire time. And it's, I think musical theater is that perfect synergy of all the things I love, even though I hate the word synergy, but it is such a, it's such a hybrid of collaboration. It is set design and you know, you've got costume elements, you've got choreography, direction, lighting design, you got music and lyrics and orchestration, and it's just such this wonderful hybrid of all these storytelling. It's storytelling from, you know, in all these wonderful ways. I think it's such an incredible art form, because it's so moving. It's that thing Yip Harburg said back in the day, the guy that wrote the lyrics to Wizard of Oz. It's like, oh, what is it, song, music makes you feel, song, lyrics make you think, songs make you feel thoughts, something like that.
The power of music, right? Kind of
Yeah,
getting into your
exactly.
soul for sure.
Yeah, and in a good story, I feel like musical theater in particular does all of that. It hits all your I'm sorry, my little baby
Okay,
is
that's
very excited to hear my voice in the other room. But
right.
yeah, it hits all your senses in all those wonderful ways.
Any advice to like young writers who are kind of maybe in
That's
their head
right.
thinking like music and, you
Just
know?
do it. Just do it. I think like you have to have a you have to make it bad so you can make it good. You just have to, I think so many people get stymied by thinking that it has to be perfect, and without thinking it just has to be, because you always writing is rewriting. That really is what it is, right? As anybody knows. So I think that's the big thing is if you've got a story to tell and you've got a point of view, and then you just do it. You just figure it out. And if you don't have all the resources to know how to learn those instruments, find folks who can help you. Find those helpering friends, you know, those collaborators, and you find a way and you create those your own opportunities. But yeah, you just do it. You just start it.
I
It's
think
the yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say I think that like musical theater kind of is built for that collaborative nature too, that you're in it together and you're all, as you said, doing different pieces. But I think any kind of performance in front of people of something that you've made is a really powerful experience for
It's the
sure.
best feeling in the whole wide world. I thought performing was the be all end all, and I got to do some amazing things as a performer, but there is no better feeling than having people watch your work and react to it or feel moved by it or, you know, for a song or a thing. That's just the most rewarding thing ever. But you don't always make it for them, you make it for you. And you do it for you because it makes you feel things. And that's what's so wonderful about art in general is right? If it's specific and unique to you, it's universal to everyone because they probably feel that same shared humanity.
I was texting to Tanya throughout the whole time you were talking, saying this may be one of the better shows that we've ever done, simply because of the writing processes that you put before us. You have your little girl. I have my dog who now thinks it's playtime. And I'm like, if there was a musical about my dog annoying me right now, which reminded me of Kevin's opening prompt, Miss Twiggly's Tree. And I was thinking, Miss Twiggly's Tree is a book my grandmother used to read to us as a kid. I was like, how would that turn into a musical? And I was thinking my dog could sing in that musical. All right. So
I love pet musicals. I wrote a whole musical about true animal heroism. I love, love, love animals that sing in musicals.
my big takeaway though, and I wrote all the stuff I wanted to say, but I'm just going to keep it concise. Language is meant to be performative. Language is performative. And language should help make magic happen. And I don't think I learned that till I was an undergrad and I took a playwriting class. And then that play was sent off to the theater department. And then I had was invited in to see how people took my language and performed it without me in the room. Best education I ever received, because language and words put to page, I like it to call it a keyboard piano on my, because I can't play the piano, but I can type fast. And you send it off to someone else, and it's like, wow, that's pretty amazing the life it takes. And then Reardon put to forward this YA novel, and that had a life. And then you made the musical of it, and that has a life. And now we're having a conversation about how words inspire words, and genre kind of contains what it is we're trying to communicate. This is just absolutely brilliant. I think this is going to be a tremendous resource
Oh no.
Uh-oh.
for all thinking.
Oh.
Got it.
Oh. You froze for a minute, Brian.
Froze for a second. We were nervous.
Oh,
I'm going
but
to
you
go
were good.
ahead and share my screen again so that Kevin can close us out with a prompt,
Sure.
and then we can say all our thank yous too. But really, what an amazing show.
Okay, well, yeah, this has been a great conversation. And so here's how we want to kind of leave you with some kind of final thoughts for writing. So imagine that you are performing a Broadway musical based on your own life. What scene will you choose for your audition before yourself? And what kind of music will be playing as you sing a song of yourself too?
Whoa, that's good.
Isn't it good?
Kevin.
I've been thinking about writing my own funeral, and as not as a musical, but kind of musical guest, because my middle name's Ripley, and I was like, RIP would be just such a perfect name for it. And so I started scripting it out because it's a lot of fun to like get revenge on a lot of people who would perform in the show. Yeah.
That is a very, very interesting take on this prompt.
That's so great, but it
I
just
just,
makes you, yeah, go
oh,
ahead.
sorry, you go, Rob.
No, I was just thinking, what do you choose? Like, there's so many moments. Like, if you were gonna think about like a song or a moment that defined something in your life, or there's so many like that gives you so many ideas for song
Yeah.
moments.
And then you have to audition in front of yourself too. That's the other part of it, right? That
I
okay,
love
so
that.
yeah.
I'm stealing
But
that. You're using it in my writing workshop.
that you wrote this question before you talked to Rob, and that whole thing we heard about auditioning to be a part of the team to write this musical. I mean, that you didn't know you were going to talk about that today, and yet
No.
here we are, come full circle from the beginning of the interview to the end.
Yep.
This has been, I was saying to Brian, this has been one of my favorite shows ever because there was so much talk about the work and the craft of writing and making a musical, or writing and making anything. And it's just so rich with possibility for sharing with young people and showing them how things get made and how they can make things. And I'm so appreciative to you, Kevin, for these amazing, really great, rich questions, and to you, Rob, for taking the time for teachers and young people to show them, to open up what you do and how you do it. And this has just really been lovely. So thank you to both of you.
You're listening to NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. NWP. NWP Radio.